let's turn together in our Bibles to Psalm 117. Here we are at the very end of 2019, just about to the year 2020. And you know, maybe there's something significant about that year. Maybe this will be the year of clarity. Maybe this will be the year that we can see more clearly. I pray so, because it seems like we've been living in confusing times lately. Psalm 117 is a pretty quick one. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, as we come to the end of another year, as we are at the cusp of the beginning of a new one, it's a great time for us to be reflecting on many things, and most of all, perhaps, on our relationship with you, where we stand with you. What is the status of our relationship with you? What kind of decisions are you calling us to make in our lives that we're nearly out of time to make in 2019, and maybe you want us to do it before the new year comes? What kind of challenges await us? And are we really near enough to you to be ready for them? So many questions and thoughts course through our minds at the end of one year and the beginning of another. But Lord, let this next year truly be a year when, if nothing else, we see you more clearly now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, back in the 1990s, which doesn't sound like that long ago, but really was a while back now. There's a whole chunk of people right over here that never knew the 90s. People used to believe that image was everything. It really didn't matter what you were as long as you looked right. As long as you had the look, which of course was always a moving target. And from the perspective of 20 years later, some of those looks look a little ridiculous. But people became famous during the 1990s. For the very first time, they became famous for being famous, for no other reason than being famous or perhaps infamous. Not because they had talent, not because they had skill, not because they had anything else, but they were just notorious. A duo called Milli Vanilli was a part of the 1990s. They sold a few million records. They had the look, but it came out that they didn't sing the songs that they were supposed to be singing. Somebody else sang on their records, and then they were caught lip-syncing when one of the tracks quit working and started looping and repeating instead. And they pretty quickly fell away. But they had the look. And again, you know, you have to kind of wonder about the look. But it was the look. The Canon Camera Company even picked up on the phrase, image is everything, and almost throughout the 1990s, that was their motto, image is everything. And they even got themselves a spokesman in Andre Agassi, the tennis player of the 90s who had the look. Even though he was incredibly talented, because he had the look, he kind of slacked off and never really achieved his potential. But he became a multimillionaire because people were willing to pay him to endorse their products, because he had the look. And image is everything. The 24-hour news channel was born, and the news broadcasting of the Walter Cronkite era largely was replaced by infotainment presented by people who had the look. Go back and look at the news presenters on CNN and then later Fox News in the 1990s, and they all look, especially the women, like variations on a theme. They had the look, and that's what mattered more than journalism or anything else. But, you know, there's been a change going on, especially in the last few years. Image is now suspect. Maybe what you see isn't what you get. We are discovering that things are not always what they seem to appear to be. We found out that reality TV has nothing to do with reality, that they are at least as heavily scripted as any comedy or drama show. Made in the USA, according to Congress's Buy American Act, which, by the way, was promulgated in 1933, made in the USA, from the government's point of view, means that it has to be at least 51% made in America. The other 49% can be made in a list of countries this long. Now, if it's a retail thing that you and I buy, then it has to be mostly or completely made in America. So you can buy the Made in America tag, and that's made in America. But if the government's buying it, it's got to be at least 51% made in America. Fake news is a real thing, we found out. And some of the things that you thought were fake were real, and some of the things you thought were real were fake. And now we live in a world where 30 to 90% of the movies we see are generated in a computer. You know, those actors are not really jumping around in those really impressive looking sets. They're jumping around on blocks of green screen stuff, and they're dropping in all of the other things with computers. Deep fake videos are now being made portraying people in almost unbelievable lifelike ways and making them say and do things that they do not say and do not do. Be looking out for that and be aware of that as we move into the 2020 election year season. I can guarantee you, if you're involved in social media at all, there is going to be some stuff out there that's not true. And you'll have a hard time telling what it is, because it'll look good. Social media users are constantly getting connection requests from people who aren't who they say they are. I've gotten where if I get a connection request from one of you, I will not answer it until I find you and say, "Did you send me a request?" Because usually the answer is no. We're constantly getting emails and phone calls, at least I am, from people who want to scam me and deceive me. And they're presenting themselves as friendly bankers or insurance providers or princes in Nigeria who want to give me a part of their fortune. Or the ones that really get my goat are the ones who prey on our elderly and say, "Want to let you know that we're going to cancel your Social Security next week. So give us your Social Security number so we can fix that." And of course, that's the beginning of identity theft right there. But they sound like the real thing. We feel surrounded by those who are trying to manipulate us. And in the context of that, what we need more than anything else is authenticity. It's become what they call a mega trend the last 5 years, especially among the younger generation. They are looking for that which is real. They are looking for that which has depth. They are looking for that which has meaning. They are looking for that which gives purpose. They're looking for authenticity. And really, we should all be doing the same thing. We should look for authenticity in the things that we buy. Did you know that if you go to certain dollar stores and buy Colgate toothpaste, it might not be Colgate toothpaste? It just might have the tube. We need authenticity. We need authenticity in the careers that we choose. You know, we need, especially the young people, they are looking for a way to invest their lives in a way that gives meaning, that will give them an authentic life, a balanced life, a life worth living. We're looking for authenticity in the relationships that we pursue. And we're looking for authenticity in the faith that we embrace. And I find that very encouraging, because I believe that a biblical faith is an authentic faith. If you truly pursue a biblical faith, then you are pursuing the real thing, an authentic faith. Those who are looking for spiritual authenticity need look no further than Jesus Christ and the book that tells his story. And you know, authenticity is the theme of Psalm 117. By the way, if you're one of those people who've always wanted to memorize a chapter in the Bible, but never got around to it, this is your chapter. It's two verses long. It can be one of your goals for 2020. You can go around and say, I memorized a chapter of the Bible. Psalm 117, two verses. But they're pretty packed. It is a psalm that talks about authenticity. Now be careful. Remember Psalm 117, because you might slip up and go to Psalm 119. That's 176 verses long. But I want you to know that back in Jesus' day, every 11 or 12-year-old Hebrew child memorized Psalm 119. So it's doable. But we're looking at Psalm 117, the one that you're going to memorize, so everybody can say, I know an entire chapter of the Bible. And it'll be an authentic thing to say. It'll be true. Authentic faith is what this is all about. And it begins with a statement of praise, a twofold statement of praise. Because, see, authentic faith generates authentic praise. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. Now, this was sung in the temple. This was sung in the context of Israelite worship. And yet it's being sung to the Gentiles, to the peoples of the nations. I've often wondered if it was sung in the direction of the court of the Gentiles, perhaps. But it's absolutely inviting. It's inviting the whole world to praise God. Because you see, the God being praised in Psalm 117 is the real deal. He's the authentic, the genuine, the real, the bona fide, the credible, the legitimate, the original, the authoritative, the actual, the pure, the reliable, the one and only God. He's the real thing. Authentic faith must be in an authentic God. Accept no substitutes or imitations. He became known, or he becomes known, when we praise him. The world can see who Jesus is when his people praise him. If it's real praise, if it's authentic, if it's heartfelt and not rote. You know the difference between heartfelt and rote, don't you? A rote song is a song you have to sing that maybe you don't even like, you don't want to sing. A heartfelt singing is something that just fills your soul and your heart, and you just can't wait to let it out. I hope that you are a practitioner of heartfelt singing, and you say, well, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Doesn't matter. What does the Word of God say? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? And, you know, sometimes I don't think we hear from some of you noisy people enough. Some of you have heard me tell the story of my Aunt Sarah, my most beloved of my mother's sisters. She was amazing. And we would go to church with her when we visited her in Florida. And I would sit next to her every time. And they'd call out for the song, and we'd stand up, and she would let it out. And it sounded like a bag of cats. It was amazing. She could not carry a tune. And sometimes people would turn around and look at her. And she would have a response to that. She would say, what's your problem? I'm not singing to you. Because she wasn't. The purity of her heart, the authenticity of her praise, made her voice a sweet sound in heaven. So do not be afraid to praise him. The whole world should be praising him. The authentic God offers authentic mercy and kindness. That's the second part of this beautiful little psalm. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. In the original Hebrew, merciful kindness, two words in our language, is one word that encompasses both mercy and kindness in a single concept. Sometimes it's translated loving kindness, a single compound word. You see, there's no dividing God's mercy from his kindness. And there's no dividing God's kindness from his mercy. Together, they're an expression of God's authentic love for us. If you're a person for any reason here today who thinks that God is angry with you or mad at you or hates you or doesn't love you, he loves everybody but you, you're wrong. Because God loves you. And his love is so kind and his love is so merciful that you cannot even wrap yourself around it. You just have to accept it. Psalmist saying at one point, your loving kindness, God, is sweeter than life. And he was right. Prophet Jonah tried to run away from God's call to prophesy to the people of Nineveh. And the reason he did it was because he knew all about God's loving kindness. You see, Jonah hated the Ninevites, the people that God was about to destroy. They were depraved and debauched and evil and wicked, and they deserved it. But God said to Jonah, now I want you to go to Nineveh and give them one last chance to repent. I want you to go tell them to repent in my name. But Jonah hated the Ninevites. We don't know exactly why he hated them so much, but he hated them so much that he disobeyed God, tried to run away. God on a boat going in the opposite direction. God sends a storm. And Jonah confesses to the other people in the boat who are about to drown, it's my fault because I'm running away from God. If you'll throw me in the water, then I'm sure the seas will calm. And so they follow his advice. They throw him in the water. God sends a great fish to swallow him up and take him to the shores of Nineveh. The very place Jonah didn't want to go because Jonah hated the Ninevites and Jonah knew God and he knew that if the people repented, God would forgive them because of God's kindness and his mercy. I've always imagined what it was like when the fish comes up to the shore at Nineveh and goes, "Brap!" And out comes Jonah. And Jonah goes staggering into Nineveh with a great big piece of kelp half digested over his shoulder. Repent! And don't you know they did? And Jonah hated it. They repented so big time that the whole city just covered themselves up with ashes and tore their robes and put sackcloth on the animals of their fields even. They totally repented of their evil because God loves us even in the midst of our faults and failings. He's the real thing. He is the authentic God. That's who he is and what he does. So we have authentic praise for this authentic God who gives us authentic love and kindness and mercy. But perhaps the greatest thing he gives us is the last thing mentioned. He gives us authentic truth. Because the last part says, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. You know, that which is authentic endures. Authentic truth endures. What is true today was true 2,000 years ago and will be true 2,000 years from now. What is true no matter who says it. If the worst person in the world says something that's true, it's still true. If the best person in the world says something that's true, it's still true. Authentic truth endures. Psalm 119, 160 says, the entirety of your word is truth. and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Peter quotes that verse from Isaiah in 1 Peter 1:25 and then says, now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. The gospel is the gospel of truth. It is the truth of who God is and what he's done for us in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the authentic truth. That's the real thing. 1 Kings tells us the story of when the Queen of Sheba, hearing about the fame of the wisdom of Solomon that had been given to him by God, comes to the court of Solomon to test him with hard questions. I love that phrase. Hearing the fame of Solomon, she came to test him with hard questions. She wanted to see if he was the real thing, if he was authentic, or it was just a rumor that this great king was so wise. She was going to come find out for herself. The sad thing is that 1 Kings doesn't tell us what any of the hard questions were, and that really is a bummer. I'd really like to know what some of them were, but none of them are in the Bible. Just ask him hard questions, and then the passage goes on to say, and he answered them all. But some of the ancient rabbis and other sources have told us stories about questions that perhaps were asked. And here's one of my favorites. Queen of Sheba came to Solomon. And one day she put him to the test in this way. She brought artificial flowers so perfectly formed so that no human eye could detect them from real flowers. Have you noticed how they're doing that these days? Some of these silk flower arrangements that are on display here sometimes. I have to come up and touch them. I have to get close to them to be able to tell, and sometimes even then I can't tell. Well, apparently 3,000 years ago, Queen of Sheba was able to do something very similar. These artificial flowers so perfectly formed that no human eye could detect them from real flowers. She put them in a vase on Solomon's table in his throne room next to a vast display of flowers that were already there. All of those were real flowers, by the way, because he was the king and he got the best, always. As he came in, the Queen of Sheba is reported to have said, Solomon, you are the wisest man in the world, so it is said. Tell me, without touching these flowers, which are real and which are artificial. Which of these flowers, Solomon, is the real thing? Which is authentic? Which is genuine? And which is fake? Story goes that Solomon stood at the table for quite a while. He looked at all the flowers, back and forth, back and forth. The Queen of Sheba thought, well, maybe I've caught him. And then Solomon spoke and said, open the window and send in the bees. You see, there's always a way to discover what's real. Authenticity is there for us to know, because God wants us to know him. We can discern God's truth from the world's fabrications if we will seek his face to do so. We're coming up to the year 2020. Could it be the year that we see more clearly? They talk about seeing 2020. I used to see 2020. Now I get corrected. Would you be looking for God in a more clarified way, searching for a more authentic relationship with him here at the end of 1 year and the beginning of another. Would you seek his face? Let's pray.